phone lines right quick, though, and learn about gout?
Gout. You know, it's associated with Henry VIII, and Benjamin Franklin had gout, and from what I'm finding out, a lot of other people have gout, too, don't they, Doctor?
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. Gout is thought of as an old disease. Now, why don't we think of heart disease or cancer as old diseases? Those are old diseases, too. And it's true that a lot of famous old people like Ben Franklin and Louis XIV had gout. But the reality is gout is becoming more and more common as our waistlines have expanded. Gout has become a more common problem in America. And there are between 3 and 5 million people who suffer from gout. It's the number one number one inflammatory arthritis in men, and it also affects women. One out of four gout sufferers are women.
Well, what is it though? My waistband has expanded, but I'm not sure I have gout.
Well, what it is this: it's a metabolic disease. It's an inherited metabolic disease. It is not due to bad diet. It's not due to eating rich foods, although rich foods can sometimes key it off. And when we take protein and one amino acid in protein that we metabolize, and one of the byproducts of metabolism, one of the waste products, is uric acid. Now, for some people, they simply make too much of it. For other people, they just don't excrete enough of it. And as a result, when the uric acid builds up in the bloodstream, that building up of uric acid with that predisposition makes the uric acid crystallize in the joints. And when it crystallizes in the joints, you have pain. Red, hot, swollen joints, and the pain is awful. It's like a hot poker in your joint. And the most common joint is great toe. 50% of the time it's in the great toe, but the other 50% of the time it's in other joints, and it's awful when you get it.
So the main symptom is, shall we call it,
pain.
Overblown arthritis?
Well, it's actually more than that. It's pain. It's commonly, when it's misdiagnosed, and you have to have a doctor to get your first diagnosis, it looks like it's an infected toe or an infected joint. So picture an infected great toe. It's red, it's hot, it's tender. No pus there, because there's no pus with gout. But it's red, it's hot, it's tender, and you touch it, go, ouch, that really hurts. That's what it feels like. It feels more like an infected joint than an arthritis gone awry.
Okay, and you say this is rather prevalent in our American
life? Sure, 3 to 5 million people. Now, what happened was 40 years ago, a drug came out called allopurinol, very good drug, available today. It's a generic drug. It's a drug that decreases the body's making too much uric acid. In other words, it works by sort of blocking the production of uric acid. And for many people, this medication is very, very good. The whole goal is to reduce uric acid to the magic number of 6. People with gout have a uric acid with a number of about 10, usually 9 or 10. That's the number when you go into your doctor's office. The goal is to get it down to below 6. Because if you do that, there's a good chance you'll eliminate nearly all or all your attacks. And allopurinol works probably for about 60-70% of the population in doing that. But the new kid on the block, a drug called Uloric, at the 80-milligram level, is more likely to do that than allopurinol. And there are not a lot of gout people out there, maybe a third of the people with gout, who still suffer attacks because their uric acid isn't low enough. When they get an attack, they blame themselves. They go, hey, I had a beer last night and I had an attack. And the fact is, you had a beer every night this week. Why'd you get an attack on that day? And that's because your uric acid has been too high.
Okay, so having beer causes gout?
Well, beer, things that can precipitate gout, in other words, when you've got that high uric acid in the body and it's all ready to crystallize in your joint, can be trauma, banging the joint can do it, dehydration, which is why people tend to get it at night, cold weather, a little more common in the winter. I know it's in the 20s where you are there. It's -5 in Wisconsin, which is even chillier. And then certain other things such as high fructose corn syrup from soda pop, beer, more than wine and alcohol, beer is likely to do it, and large doses of aspirin. These are things that can precipitate an attack. But if your uric acid is low, the attack doesn't happen. It precipitates attack if your uric acid is too high. If you're not at goal, and goal is that magic number of 6.
So, doctors, Pastor, how likely is it that, say, JR is going to get it?
Well, JR, how old is JR?
54.
So 54. And do you have gout in your family, JR?
Oh, as far as I know, I don't.
No, you probably know.
They complain or say they've got the gout.
Yeah. Do you have complainers in your family?
No.
No, okay. So the chances that JR is going to get gout are not zero, but they're slim. The chances that you're going to get gout, you're going to know it generally either when you're younger or or by the time you're 40 or 50. But for women, it's different. Women don't get gout until they go through menopause. That's when they get it. As soon as they stop producing estrogen, that's when they're more likely to get it. So if JR was a woman, we couldn't make the statement that he's not likely to get it, because women are more likely to get it after menopause. But you can get it. I've had patients. I had a guy in my office the other day. He was 73, came in, had a great big swollen foot. A couple of people treated it with antibiotics. It went on and off for a few days, came in to see me. I said, I think that's gout. We looked at it, treated him with an anti-inflammatory medication, the drug you give for a flare, came back 2 weeks later. We did the blood test, lo and behold, he has gout. So it can even happen in your 70s.
The determining factor, the determining test, is a blood test?
Yeah, there are two determining tests. Number one, a doctor who looks at it and says, yes, this is gout. You've got to have the clinical picture of gout. It's not just the blood test. It's the blood test plus you had a red-hot swollen toe and it looks, smells, and sounds like gout. And a blood test done 2 weeks after the attack. During the attack, the uric acid will be low because uric acid went out of the bloodstream into the joint. But 2 weeks later, the uric acid stays in the bloodstream, and that's what you need. You need that test 2 weeks later. You need a doctor to look at the joint and say, I think it's gout. That's how you make the diagnosis. And if a doctor is unsure, they stick a needle in the joint and take out fluid. That doesn't happen very, very commonly because, of course, that's painful.
No joke.
No joke. That's why we don't do it very often. But you can make a presumptive diagnosis without that. Now, overall, the treatment then is a daily pill to reduce your uric acid. Some people start taking that pill after the second attack, some after the first attack, not that commonly. But most take it after that second or third attack because they don't want to have it. And it's a lifelong therapy to get down that uric acid. Not different, any different than a lifelong therapy for diabetes or lifelong therapy for high blood pressure. You have to take a lifelong therapy to keep that uric acid down. And the other thing is then you won't have the complications of gout, which can also be joint destruction and kidney problems. If you get the uric acid down, that doesn't happen.
Okay. So since we're all, I guess the real thing here is not many of us need to worry about it, but those who do have those kind of symptoms should know that relief is available?
Absolutely. You don't have to worry about it because if you've never had a gout attack, you don't have gout. I mean, you've got to have the attack. It's not just a blood test. You don't treat uric acid unless somebody has had a gout attack. The issue is that for people who have continuing gout attacks, who may be taking medication, there's help. There's a new medication, which is Euloric, in the 80-milligram dose, and it's more effective than the drug has been out there for 40 years. And a lot of people still have attacks, blame it on their food. They said, I went and had shrimp. Well, when they have shrimp, most of the time they have breading that tastes like shrimp with a tiny little shrimp. Or they blame it on their beer, or they had liver and onions. And the answer is, it is not dietary indiscretion that does it. It's the uric acid that's too high that does it. And that's where the help is. Get your uric acid tested. If it's not at the magic number of 6, talk to your doctor either about Euloric or about taking a pill every day if you're not on one of those daily pills.
So am I hearing that there's nothing you could do really to prevent it because the problem isn't lifestyle, the problem
right. Right, you got it. The problem is not inherently lifestyle. The problem is you have the metabolic predisposition from your genes. Now, there is an answer, though. If you're 100 pounds overweight and you lose 100 pounds, you might reduce those gout attacks, but you still have that predisposition. The same thing is true for diabetes. Once you get it and you're on pills, if you're overweight by 100 pounds, you take down your weight, you still have diabetes, but you might not need a pill or as many pills. Same for blood pressure. Stop drinking, lose weight, your blood pressure may be controlled without pills or with fewer pills. The same is true of gout. Lifestyle plays a role, but you still have to get to that magic number of 6. That's what counts. And then your flares will decrease to 0 or close to 0.
So can I safely draw the conclusion that I don't have to worry about gout? I can do what I want to during the Christmas season unless I have the flare-up.
Exactly. And if you have the flare-up, you are going to worry because you don't want to have a flare-up on Christmas Day because it'll ruin the presents. You don't have to worry about gout. If you've had it, you probably, you don't have to worry because you've never had a flare. Chances are you're not going to have one. But for those who have flares, the answer is seek help, get that number below 6. Push it with either allopurinol if you've never been on it, or take the new kid on the block if you are on it and you're not at the magic number of 6. Look at this new drug, Euloric, and see if that'll do it for you.
Okay. Well, so this is one of those I don't have to worry about, and I'm, you know, it's refreshing to finally find something going wrong that I don't have to worry about.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Ain't it the truth, as we say?
Yeah. Well, Dr. Pastor, we want to thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Can you give a website or anywhere where folks can go?
Gout.com. G-O-U-T. Sounds just like the disease. G-O-U-T.com. It's a great website, good information. You can look for the symptoms to see if you have gout. You can look at the various treatments. It's a very good website. Yeah, that's the website that I recommend for people because it's easy to spell, gout.com, and it's a good website. It's a dynamite website, I always like to say.
All right. Well, hey, thanks a lot for being with us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jesse. I appreciate it.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Same to you.
Bye.